is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. How you doing? Hope you're doing okay. Now's a great time to look around and say, you know what? I don't like the color of that wall. So I saw somebody said, someone did a Facebook poll and said, how many of you have changed the color of one of your rooms during this time? And, you know, I haven't. We did some renovations in our home last year, and I'm taking a break from home renovations. I'm doing some maintenance stuff, but I'm not doing any painting. I'm allergic to it right now. Causes me to break out into a sweat. Anyway, we're glad that you tuned in, and I pray that you will find this program uplifting to you, that you find it faith-building, and that it encourages you in your walk with the Lord to make the most of this season and allow God to bring you through this with a new testimony, with resurrection power, and it is going to be an absolutely wonderful, wonderful thing. So yesterday we started in Psalm 91. We were in verse number 1. By the way, my name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. But right now the address is facebook.com. You can find our ministry live streaming on Sunday mornings. And we're in the process of getting the YouTube channel bugs worked out. Keep checking there. You can also check out merrittassembly.com, M-E-R-R-I-T-T, Assembly, A-S-S-E-M-B-L-Y, all one word, .com, and you can keep up to date with everything that is going on there. We try and let everybody know we're not doing any live ministry right now that, excuse me, that would jeopardize anyone's health and well-being. So be sure and check out. Actually, you know, it's been a very fruitful ministry, and God has really been blessing that over the past few weeks. So Psalm 91, verse number 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's a phrase that happens a few times here in the middle of this psalm. I just thought I would point it out to you. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. That's in verse number 9. And it says in verse number 14, because he has set his love upon me. And then it says, there was another place in there that there was another because. You and I, we get to experience the benefits because of the choices that we've made. There it is in verse number 14. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So there are three things that we can do that set us up for victory that we talked yesterday about: dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty, and he would surely deliver us from the fowler's snare. Today, we make God our dwelling place. That's verse number 9. And then in verse number 14, we set our love upon him, and then we set him on high. He will set us on high because he has known my name. So we need to know God. We need to know his name. We need to set our love upon him, and we need to abide in that dwelling place. Those are three very simple things to do. What would it mean if I told you if you just did three things, it would change the dynamic of your relationship with God, and you would experience benefits that far outweigh the efforts that it takes to make God your dwelling place, to set your love upon him, and to know his name. I don't see why we would run from that. As a nation, as a world, I don't know why we would run away from that. God says, I'm going to load you down with protection and benefits that you could never imagine. We need to be very dutiful in setting those goals for ourselves and our lives. Verse 9 and verse number 14, if you're taking notes. Verse number 3, we got through half of that verse yesterday, and it says this: surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So I've had my notes here that I've been working my way through now for months and months on this deliver, and we come to this, and what are we battling right now? We are battling a perilous pestilence. We are facing something that we cannot see, that has the ability to take life, to destroy life. And today, I want to speak over my life. I want to speak over Merritt Assembly of God, my family, our church, our community, your life. And I want to say, God, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, surely you will deliver us from the perilous pestilence. Now, I want to address something I mentioned on yesterday's program. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So the devil came and tempted Jesus, and he said, cast yourself down off of these stones, because the word says that he's going to give his angels charge over you. They're not going to let you dash your foot against a stone. So just go ahead and let's watch the angels come to your rescue. First of all, I will tell you this. Jesus came to be the deliverer, not to have to be delivered. I'll just let you know. He came on a mission, and he wasn't going to allow any of the devil's distractions to prevent him from accomplishing that mission. What the devil was trying to do was get Jesus to act in a presumptive manner and with recklessness position himself in harm's way, and then believe that God was going to protect him from this, from whatever needed to, so that he wouldn't be damaged. And I want you to know, that's not what's talking about here. This is not talking about going out and throwing yourself in front of a car and say, oh, well, God's going to stop that car before it hits me. That's not wise. It's not wise. There is a king of Judah named Josiah. And Josiah was a godly king. There was no one that did for Israel the things that Josiah did. Josiah caused them to celebrate the Passover like they had never celebrated it before. Hezekiah had celebrated it, but celebrated it at the wrong time. Josiah celebrated it when God said that it needed to be celebrated. And he was very vigilant in purging the idols out of not only Judah, but he even went and destroyed some of the idols that had been set up in Samaria after the Assyrians had come and carried off the nation of Israel into captivity. He was very, very vigilant. He was a godly king. And the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was on his way to do battle, and Josiah went ahead and went out and attacked him. And Pharaoh said, "Don't prevent me from the task that God has given to me. I don't have a quarrel with you. I'm not here to fight with you. But God told me to go and take on this enemy, and you're standing in my way." And Josiah refused to listen to him, and he died what I consider to be a premature death because he engaged a battle that he didn't need to engage in. So let's not be foolish in our day-to-day activities while we are you know, trying to flatten the curve of this pestilence. But here's what I've prayed over our church. Not one cell. Not one cell in my body. Not one cell in my wife or my children or my grandchildren. Not one cell in the people of our church's body is going to be impacted by this virus. That's what I've prayed. It's not because my prayers are so powerful. It's because the promise of God is so powerful that He will deliver us from the perilous, the dangerous, the lethal pestilence that might come. And here's how He does it. "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler." In other words, He says, "I've got you. I've got you surrounded." And here I picture, you know, the illustration that Jesus used, "How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks and covers them and protects them." That's the way that I see the ministry that God provides for us here. Now, you can go and run off. And I will tell you this, God's really, really big. But you don't want to run from His protection. You want to run to His protection. You don't want to be dealing with falsehoods. You want to be dealing with truth. You need to say, "You know what? I am so thankful that God has me completely surrounded, and it's not an unfortified position. It's an extremely fortified position." Now, let's get real for just a little bit here and talk about verse number 5, Psalm 91, verse number 5. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." First of all, I will tell you this. The devil is a terrorist. He wants to come in and tell you, "Unless you do this, I'm going to destroy you." He over-exaggerates his abilities. I'm not saying that he doesn't have weapons, but I have a promise from God that the weapons that Satan uses shall not prosper, but they shall be rendered completely and totally useless. I think that's a great promise. Okay? Here's the thing with terrorists is that they have no intention of you getting out of this thing alive. They come to paralyze by fear. They want to use threats and intimidation to prevent you and I from acting. Okay? So at one point in time, planes were brought down by box cutters. The threat that they made, how many times have people made threats only to have those threats not be based upon reality. They made claims that to weapons and plans of mass destruction that they really didn't have the abilities to carry out. And so for them, the threat was more powerful than the weapon. So I know that in public schools, one of the things that they deal with on a regular basis that they try and combat is what is now called bullying. Okay? There was such a thing as bullies when I grew up. I encountered my share of them, but I don't necessarily bow down to the bullies. It's like, okay, that's your opinion. Thank you very much for sharing it. But I'm going to continue to go on my very own way here. I'm going to continue to go forward. I'm not going to allow the devil's threats to stop me from moving forward in faith. You say, well, is that presumptive? No. When God has birthed something in your heart and the devil comes to try and stop you from accomplishing that purpose by threatening harm to you, that's something else. I believe that Goliath was a terrorist. You know, he stood out there and he made his boast and all of that, and everybody cowered in fear. Here, all of these experienced warriors were with all of their, with whatever weapons they had and their armor that they had, their protection, and they cowered in fear. And here comes a little shepherd boy, and all he's got is a few cheese sandwiches. He's got a sling. He didn't even have any bullets. He didn't have any stones to put in his sling. And he says, today's the last day that guy is going to spout his threats. I'll go and I will take care of him because he's defying the armies of the living God. And it wasn't because David was so special. It was because the God that David served was so special. So you and I, we cannot allow the terror of the night, the terror where our vision is compromised, the vocal threats of the enemy, we cannot allow them to create in us a bondage of fear. God's perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay? So if we have positioned ourselves abiding with God and allowing His protection to operate in our life, we do not have to be slaves of fear. Not only do we not have to be afraid of the terror by night, we don't have to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Okay? So one is a threat that you may not be able to see because it comes at night, but there is another threat that the enemy will use, and he'll say, look, I'm going to do this in the wide open. I am of the persuasion that when we get to heaven, we're going to find that God protected us a whole lot more than what we're aware of. That He protected us at nighttime and He protected us during the day. Do you realize that every time you drive down a two-lane road, you are one distracted driver away from the threshold of eternity? And so I'm very thankful that God protects us. And, you know, if it's just a threat, there may actually be weapons that are utilized against you. I'm not talking about real-life guns or anything like that. But spiritual, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this day and time. We cannot be afraid of whatever the enemy launches against us, because greater is He that is within us than he that is within the world. Okay, verse number 6. Okay, let me read verse number 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Do you realize that this coronavirus that has attacked the world is so small that you can't even see it with the naked eye? You can't see it if it's floating in the atmosphere. You can't see it if it's resting on a surface. You can't see it if it comes into your body. You know, there's a test that you can take for it and all of that sort of stuff. But as a believer, I'm not going to be bound by the spirit of fear because there's a pestilence that thrives being concealed, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. When light shows up, darkness flees. Again, I'm not talking about being stupid. I'm not talking about doing things that are unwise, positioning yourself intentionally in harm's way. Not talking about any of that. But what I am saying is we have some first responders. We have some medical professionals. We have ambulance personnel, doctors and nurses. I remember reading a story about a nurse that was so afraid that she was going to give the virus to someone else that she took her own life. I know people who battle with post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's not a fictitious thing. It's something that is very, very real. But when it comes to faith, I'm here to tell you that we don't have to live in fear of this thing that might come against us. We say, I will stand in faith. You see, I am a firm believer that it is appointed unto me once to die, and then comes the judgment. And the devil is powerless to move that appointment up. God's the one who is going to protect us. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Look at what it says. Don't be afraid at night. Don't be afraid of the weapons that are used in the daytime. Don't be afraid of the pestilence that is up there. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There are so many people who live in fear every day of their life that they're going to fail at something. That if they fail at it, it's just devastating. And so because they're afraid to fail, they never launch out and they never attempt anything. And I want you to know at that point in time, you have guaranteed failure. So I'm not afraid to try something. I'm not afraid to say, well, you know what? I learned what not to do in this situation. There are some things that I've learned not to do. The reason that I learned them was because I stepped out. I thought I was stepping out in faith because the voice of Bob sounded so much like the voice of God to my spirit. It was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted to hear. Only to find out that my carnal nature was doing a rich little impersonation of the voice of God, and there were scriptures that I was unaware of that said, don't do that. It's very important that we hide the word of God in our heart, not just our favorite scriptures. Okay? Everybody's got their favorite scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. Everybody's got their favorite scriptures. But sometimes we need to open our spirit up to the whole Word of God so that God says, look, I want you to avoid this because it will destroy you. Okay? Remember, okay? Whenever you see the word destruction, okay? So there's fear, there's terror, there's darkness, and there's destruction, all of which are mentioned there. There's pestilence and sickness and disease. Remember, whenever you see the word destruction, that it is the devil, it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Too many people blame God for the devil's activities. And they said, well, where was God when all of this was going on? I've got another question for you. Where are you when all of this stuff is going on? Are you unprotected? Are you out there doing your own thing? Or as the Bible talks about, are you out there doing what is right in your own eyes? Or have you recognized the blessed place that God has created for you, that you are to dwell in relationship with Him? Have you filled out the change of address card that says, I am not living under the cares of this life any longer. I am living at God's house. I'm living in the courtrooms of heaven. I'm living on the Word of God. I'm living by the Word of God that proceeds from His mouth, not by bread alone. I am living, and every day He's going to protect me, and every day He's going to deliver me from traps, and every day He's going to deliver me from pestilence. He's going to cover me. He is going to remove fear from my life. He's going to make sure that the weapons formed against me don't prosper, and no matter what pestilence is, no matter what form of destruction the enemy comes to bring my way, God is going to cause me to be able to live my life in such a way that I don't have to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. That is, and again, let me just throw this out there. Living without fear does not mean that we live foolishly. We live by faith, and we live in obedience to the Word of God. Okay? One of the reasons why we're strictly on live services right now is because that's what the authorities in our lives have told us is the best thing to do. So we're not going to be unwise. We're going to live wise. We're going to live shrewdly, and we're going to live by faith. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Long before the world's creation, you chose a people.